Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her under your skin and then you'll begin to make it That's that part, right? Better, 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 better. We like better things, don't we? And just the word. We like the word better. It just means good things. It's going to be better, better things. Earlier this year, we had the iPhone 7 come out. And so we had the whole iPhone 7 versus iPhone 6 going on there. The first couple of weeks that the iPhone 7 was released showed almost as many sales as Apple's record iPhone 6 sales. Though the iPhone 7 was not the jump from 6 that 6 was from 5. Still, even before it was released, places were selling out of iPhone 7s in pre-orders before they'd even touched the phone, before they'd even seen it themselves or experienced if it was better. Places were selling out in pre-orders for the iPhone 7 so that those who didn't pre-order, they had to wait for the next batch of 7s before they could get their 7s. So, but they wanted the 7 because why? It was better. Why? Because it was the 7. It was better than the 6 because obviously 7 is better than 6. In 1977, this was what better looked like. The Apple II. That was an advertisement for the Apple II, which was obviously better than the Apple I, which was released in 1976. It was better. Why? Because it was the Apple II. So the same mentality Apple's been using for decades. So it was better. The iPhone 7 was newer than the iPhone 6, so it was better. The Apple II was newer than the Apple I, so it was better. So if it's new, that means it's better, right? No. Not really, because this happened in 1985. New Coke. America's taste just got what? Better. No, it didn't. So new doesn't mean better. Or maybe new does mean better in all cases except for New Coke. So, but no, it doesn't always mean better. But when you're talking about New Coke, it means worse. It doesn't mean better. It means a lot worse. That marketing scheme fell flat on its face. Unless it was some sort of conspiracy theory to boost sales of Classic Coke, but they haven't ever talked about that actually coming out, but people have theories about that. It fell so bad that within 3 months of introducing New Coke, they made an announcement they were going to reintroduce Coke Classic, the original formula, and they were going to call it Coke Classic. And so maybe newer isn't always better, but better is better, right? If newer is not better, then at least better is better. I found this Daihatsu ad. I think this is a foreign ad, but it's kind of funny. Picks up 5 times more women than a Lamborghini. Technically, that's not false advertising. You can fit 6 people in that bad boy. So better. What does better mean to us? What does it mean to us? As individuals, as Christians, what does it mean to us as a church? We're going to take 2017, or at least a good portion of 2017, and explore better. We're going to look at better. 2017, better. Let's make things better in 2017. Let's look at things that we can do to together to be better, what we can do individually to be better, how things can be better. And what a better book than to start off this whole year by looking at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a book that's all about the word better. Of the 41 times that the word better shows up in the New Testament, 11 of the 41 times shows up here in the book of Hebrews. a book that takes up only 4% of the New Testament bears 25% of the uses of the word better. It makes up 1/25 of the New Testament. That's a fraction we don't deal with very often, is it? And yet it has 1/4 of the uses of the word better. And there are many other topics in the book of Hebrews that have an understood better, where better is implied. Hebrews is about how Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He provides a better exodus. He's better than Moses. He offers a better rest than the Sabbath rest that they had for so many years. Jesus is better than Abraham. Jesus offers a better hope with better promises, a better covenant that offers a better motivation for better behavior so that we can be better children of God, with better reasons to trust God, so that we, and from those reasons to trust God, we have better results with a better resurrection, with a better retirement. Because Jesus offered a better sacrifice, it was a once for all sacrifice, it was better, using better blood that provides a better cleansing. Jesus is a better high priest than any that came before him. And we have a better country that we long for. We have a better kingdom that we are a part of. So Hebrews is all about better. It's all about better, 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 better. And the Hebrews writer starts off right out of the gates. The first few words of his or her book, so we don't know the author of Hebrews, is one single sentence. If you have your Bibles, feel free to open them up, and we're going to be walking through the book of Hebrews for the next 10 weeks. And just the first four verses there at the top, we're going to read them here in a moment. They're going to be on the screen. But I want to let you know, these first four verses is one sentence. It is one sentence in the Greek. And in these first four verses, we have basically 9 betters. We're going to be looking at 8 of those 9 today. Starts off, the writer says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he inherited is superior to theirs." And that right there is the 9th one, but that one is going to be our bridge into next week. Jesus is better than the angels. We're going to back up a little bit, all the way to the very beginning there. We're going to take a look at just these simple 8 betters that we see. And I know if you were looking for the word better, you're saying, well, we don't see the word better. These are themes that are just blown up through the book of Hebrews. And this little introduction here, this one sentence, 4 verses, and we're just looking at the first 3 verses of this one sentence, just is jam-packed with why Jesus is better. And so this is how we're starting our new year. This is how we're starting our better. First 8 verses. Back up to verse 1. It says, "In the past, God spoke." God spoke. God spoke. That was God's choice form of creating everything that we see, isn't it? Speaking. It was God's word that Jesus came as when he came as God's word in the flesh. God spoke. Speaking is a very important thing to God. "But in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." And actually, that sentence is backwards there in the Greek. So basically, this whole book starts off by saying, in bits and fragments, God has spoken to our ancestors. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is better because Jesus, as a spokesperson, God speaks to us through him, directly to us through him. In the past, God spoke at many different times and in many different ways, in little bits scattered over hundreds and hundreds of years, where God gave them glimpses into the mystery of the gospel of Jesus, But in these last days, God has spoken very clearly through Christ about the gospel. Better communication from God. That's what we get from Jesus as the spokesperson. We get a better communication from God. Because of Jesus, we understand what God wants from us. We understand the heart of the law, not just the letter of the law. We understand God's love. We understand God's grace. We understand how God wants us to respond to his offer of forgiveness, that we are to believe in Jesus, to confess our faith in him, to repent and be baptized, and then to continue to live a life where we're keeping in step with his Spirit that now lives inside of us, God's Holy Spirit. We have a better communication from God through Jesus, so we have no excuse. God has made his will perfectly clear to us through Jesus, his general will. All of Jesus' words while he was here on earth, all of those words that are captured in the gospel, all the teachings of Christ, all the things that Jesus said about God, about the kingdom of heaven, about eternity, about our behavior, about our choices, all of those things that Jesus shared, we have to take to heart. And I think a lot of the things that we see in the book of Hebrews is we've been very spoiled by 2,000 years of having a better Jesus. We didn't have that turn of the covenant time. We didn't have that turn of the Testament time when they experienced what old covenant was. They experienced what the Old Testament was based around. And then when these Jews who converted to Christianity, when they saw Jesus as a better sacrifice, as a better mediator, as a better high priest, it really was better. Now for us, we're a little more removed from that, but Jesus is still better. He's better than the old covenant, but even in our world, he's better than any other alternative that we would have or that we sometimes turn to. His words, we must take them to heart if we want to live better. We must not just recognize that Jesus is a better spokesperson from God, but that his words, that's where we hang our hat. His words are truth. They're trustworthy. They're a guarantee. His words are accurate. And we must live by them. They're not optional. It's a better form of communication. Therefore, there's a higher level of responsibility on us. The Hebrews writer continues, says, whom he appointed heir of all things. The second one here is Jesus has a prince. He's heir of all things. Now, Jesus is the prince. He's also the king. But in this sense, God the Father appointed him heir of all things. And we are told that we are co-heirs with Christ. So as we see Jesus as the prince, the heir of all things, it is a better assurance of our hope. As we see Jesus inherit all things, and we are co-heirs with Christ, we have a better assurance for our hope. We have a good reason to have hope. We have a good reason to be assured of that hope. And yes, we hope for what we don't have yet. But it's not an empty hope. Not in the least. We have a better assurance of our hope through Jesus. Sometimes we use that word loosely. Hope. I hope for this or I hope for that. I hope this happens. I hope this doesn't happen. We hope for a lot of things. And a lot of the ways that we use that word, we have no assurance of those hopes that we say we hope for. So all of these lesser hopes we have, we don't have assurance for all of them. But the greater hope, in fact, the greatest hope, the better hope, we have a better assurance of that hope because of Jesus. It's not just an empty hope. It's a great thing. This inheritance that God has promised to those who place their faith in him, God has shown to us through Jesus that this inheritance has a better hope, a better assurance of the hope that we have in receiving God's promises. So Jesus was appointed heir of all things. To get all eight of these in, we just have to keep moving. So, and through whom he also made the universe. So the last part of verse 2 there. Through whom he made the universe. Jesus has an architect. These different betters, these different angles, sides of who Jesus is. He made the world. God used Jesus to make the universe, through whom he also made the universe. There is no doubt that Jesus had a major part in the creation of all things. That's consistent throughout Scripture. The actual function of the Trinity in creation, that process isn't as clear, but it is very clear that Jesus had hands-on involvement in the creation process, in the creation of all that we know. And this is a big deal. This is a very big deal because it was Jesus who also came into the earth he created. The Creator came into his creation and he shared with us. So we have a better connection to the purpose of our existence. When we listen to Jesus' teachings about the purpose of our life, why we were made, what we were here for, about the meaning of life, what really matters in life, what really has value, that's a big deal to acknowledge and realize that the Creator came to the creation and shared with us, and we have a better connection to our meaning, to our purpose, because Jesus knows why we were created, because he created us. Jesus knows what's important in our lives because he's the one that designed life itself. So listening to Jesus about our lives, what to do, what not to do, that should be a big deal, and we should listen intently. We should lean in as we dig through the teachings of Christ because they are words from our Creator about why we were created. The writer continues in verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. The radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the light of the world. Through the New Testament, the references to light are references to truth. Light equals truth. Jesus is truth. He is the truth about God's glory. He is the revelation of God. He is a better revelation of God. As God had revealed himself in pieces, just as he spoke in pieces in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. Jesus comes Jesus comes as the radiance of God's glory, the light of his glory, the truth of his glory. And so we have a better revelation of God, God revealed through Jesus. And we can have a relationship with God only because of Jesus. And this is really, really better. We couldn't do this without Jesus. We can't have this relationship with God without Jesus. Not with the level of intimacy that we have. Not to know God the way that we know him because we know him through Jesus. We couldn't do this without Jesus. For God shared with his people for thousands of years through the Old Testament. But God's been revealed in a much better way through Jesus. And often we take this for granted. People died according to the Old Covenant if they came into contact with God's glory. Here Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. And we are invited to him. To get to know him. To see God through Jesus. To have a relationship with Jesus, with God, as Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Something that was kept from mankind for years, and here we have access to it through Jesus. Later in the book of Hebrews, the writer will talk about how we have not come to a mountain that is burning with fire. That is, we've not come to darkness, gloom, and storm, which is the mountain where the Ten Commandments were brought, where people were terrified at the sound of God's voice. No, in contrast to that, we have come to Jesus. We have come to Jesus. And he has made it so that we can come into contact with God's glory. And that's amazing. And that's better. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. These two go hand in hand, but they're different enough to separate them out into two separate ones. The exact representation of his being. Jesus is an ambassador. Jesus as an ambassador, the exact representation of God's nature. Jesus, Emmanuel, we just went through our Christmas season reflecting on God coming to earth in the form of Jesus. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus came as the exact representation of God, the nature of God, the very nature of God here with us. And so we have a better understanding of who God is and why he does what he does. Sure, we will still have questions. God doesn't reveal it all to us. There's still a mystery about some of the things that God does, what he's active in, how he's active in things. But Jesus provides for us a better understanding of understanding God, why he does things, what his motivation is. What we have in Jesus is better than what the Israelites had. And it's better than anything that we would have without Jesus. We get to see God through Jesus. We get to see the mind of God through Jesus' mind. What God values. What's important to God. We see the logic of his principles laid out by Jesus. We see the heart of God through the heart of Christ. What moves God. We see what God's passionate about. What excites God. What saddens God. And we see that in the pages of the Gospels as we see how Jesus is affected emotionally by things. We see God through Jesus. He's the exact representation of God, God's nature, who God is, why he does what he does. And we get to see that through Jesus. The next better in this single sentence. The Hebrews writer says, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus as a sustainer, he upholds all things. Jesus holds it all together. He holds it all. He upholds it all. He is the sustainer. And because of this, we get to experience better stability. Much better stability in contrast to the old covenant. And better stability than any source that we could ever turn to or any of the sources that we find ourselves turning towards. Your bank accounts, it will fail you. Your retirement, your savings, your wealth will let you down. Your job will fail you from time to time. Your health will fail you. Your family, your friends will fail you. Even your spouse, even your children, even your parents. Even your closest, most trusted friends will let you down from time to time. You will even let yourself down from time to time. You will have failures. You'll have moral failures in your personal life. You'll have ethical failures at work. Your body will fail you as you have health concerns. Your choices and decisions will fail you. You will let yourself down. Jesus, as a sustainer, he upholds all things. He is a better source of stability. Jesus is better because he upholds all things. He is the sustainer. And he gives us a better stability. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. These are the last two there. We'll go back up to the first one there. After he had provided purification for sins. Jesus as a sanitizer. Think of the sanitizer we rub on our hands. Every time you wash your hands, every time you put on some of the alcohol sanitizer, I want us to think about how Jesus is better. How he's better. It's a purification of sins that he provides. He washed away our sins. And a lot of this morning is basic. Man, the basics are better. And as I said a few weeks ago, I will always preach the basics. they can never lose their meaning with us. And sometimes they do, and that's why they need to be preached from time to time. But Jesus as a sanitizer, he provided purification for sins. God's amazing love and his powerful grace displayed through Christ's obedience to offer himself in our place on the cross. To take our place, to die for us, so we wouldn't have to. And it was only through this sacrifice, only through this sacrifice that all of our sins could be washed away. It was the only way it could happen. And so we have a better cleansing, better than anyone had ever experienced before him. And there is no other way to experience the kind of purification that Jesus provides for us today. It is better. It is better, better, better. Better cleansing. Better than what any of us could ever do for ourselves. None of us have the ability to rid ourselves of our sin, to purify us. Later in the book of Hebrews, he talks about how Jesus' sacrifice was better because it cleansed us better, because it was able to cleanse our consciences of acts that lead to death. You can't cleanse your conscience. Go try. Those thoughts, those reminders of your inabilities, of your failures, of your shortcomings, they will be brought before you. Just like David said in the Psalms, my sin is always before me. You're never going to be able to cleanse your conscience from the acts that lead to death, from acts of sin. But not only does Jesus' sacrifice wash us, to purify us from sin, but it is able to cleanse our conscience. It's able to wipe our mind and our heart clean of the guilt of letting God down, of rebelling against God, of disappointing him, of disobeying him. None of us have the ability to cleanse our consciences, but Jesus does. It's better. And after providing that sacrifice that provided the purification of sins, the writer says he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus, as a judge, sits in authority. He is a better source of justice. He is a better source of justice. Later in the book of Hebrews, we're going to be looking at how he is a better mediator. He's a better high priest because he understands, because he came to earth, because he understands, he connects with our weaknesses. It makes him a better judge. He's our advocate. He's our mediator. I want you to listen to those first three verses again, just three quarters of the first sentence of this book. And think about all of these things that we've looked at. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken better through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. He's a better heir than what was given before. And through whom he also made the universe. We have a better connection to God. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. We have a better revelation of God. And the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, we have better stability. And after he had provided purification for sins, that better cleansing, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven as a better judge. This is going to be a fun 10 weeks. Jesus is better. Amen.